for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. We're wading in deep water in case you didn't know it. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. It's so deep, if I don't hurry and make a few steps, I'll get drowned. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Ooh, pay a nickel for a National Geographic out thrift store this week, you know. Amen. And in it, it had a whole editorial pictured. I mean, it even had a spreadsheet that you could take out and unfold. It showed, amen, the history of billions of years of evolution. And I said, well, National Geographic is showing its true colors. Amen. Oh, yeah, you couldn't see God nowhere in it. Amen. Whole story left God out of billions of years. It's amazing how an artist can paint and portray billions of years of evolution on a big spreadsheet, leave God clear out of the picture, and the artist wasn't even there. And nobody that talked to the artist was even there. Amen. And nobody was there even talked to the artist. Hey, I'll tell you what, folks, I've got the inside dope this morning from him that was there. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I got the inside dope from him that told Job, "Why was you when I laid the foundation of the world?" Amen. When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, "Why was you?" Amen. Glory to God. You see, Brother Collins, what do you know about the past? Amen. All I need to is right here. All I need to know is right here. Amen. You teach children that they came from monkeys, what you throwing them in jail to act like one? Amen. You teach kids that they came from a lower animal and they act like a lower animal, what you building bigger penitentiaries? Amen. Turn them loose, give them voting rights. Amen. No, even the world can't stand its own. Amen. Where does knowledge come from? In God the Father and Christ. Hallelujah. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures. All the treasures. All the treasures. All the treasures. Oh, I don't know anything better to talk about for a little while than all the treasures. All the treasures. I used to dream as I walked the poor hills of Arkansas that one day I'd crawl into the right cave. One day I'd uncover the right rock, turn over the right rock. One day I'd dig in the right place and I'd find that hidden treasure. Amen. All the hills abounded with the, amen, arrowheads of all kinds and sizes. Just go out on the creek, amen, and the creek was awash. In the gravel of the creek you could find arrowheads. It made me think that at one time in history, there must have been a tremendous population of people roaming this very ground because I can find their ammunition. and there are relics everywhere. Amen. My brother, he used to hunt Indian relics. He had a cunning knack for it. He could walk through a plowed cornfield and see a hole in the ground. So that might be the mouth of a jug. And he would dig, and sure enough, it was the mouth of an Indian jug. He found skeletons. He found all kinds of arrowheads. Amen. And when disaster happened in his life, he sold about $3,000 worth of Indian relics that he had collected just walking the fields. Amen. I want to tell you something, folks. If you can find them, there used to be a lot of Indian relics or prehistoric people living, amen, in those very hills that were so sparsely populated now. Amen. That just about anywhere you want to look, any plowed field or any day, you can walk through and find arrowheads and axes and stones that they use to grind food with. Just about any day. Man, you must have been teeming with people at one time. Amen. Along those creeks, so sparsely populated. Amen. I daydreamed as a boy and so poor. Amen. How that one day we would discover some hidden treasure. Maybe Jesse James left it behind. Or maybe the Indians left me some gold somewhere that nobody knows about. Amen. What I didn't realize, and I've told you this before even behind this pulpit, amen, if I'd have known what I know now, the thing to have done was to buy all that land you could buy when you could buy it for $10 an acre. Amen. I mean, but nobody had any money. We didn't think we could afford to. And we didn't need to buy it anyway. There was 10,000 times 10,000 acres of open range and hardly a fence anywhere. Amen. And we had the run of the whole thing. Why buy it? And so we didn't. Amen. Bible speaks of a man that found treasure hid in the field. And he went and bought that field. Because when he bought the field, he'd get the treasure. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a lot of folks buying things today that have things that rust in them. Things that moths corrupt and rust and thieves break through and steal. Amen. But they're buying it today. Oh, how poor we was just 50 years ago when I was 12 years old, and that only seems yesterday, this morning. Amen. 50 years ago. Don't seem a long time today. Amen. It very recently, as a matter of fact. In a matter of fact, 50 don't sound too long. Amen. Especially when you're buying antiques. You want something 75 or 100 if you can get it. Amen. 50 years ago wasn't too long. Amen. 50 years ago, I was 12 years old. And that's when I began dreaming that someday I'd find that cache of treasure, relics, gold. Amen. Didn't realize how priceless the earth that I stood upon was and what a gift it was and how the Lord was already blessing me. I didn't know the Lord was blessing me already, Mike. I didn't know it. Amen. I was like the Israelites that traveled through the wilderness. They didn't know that rock was Christ. Moses didn't even recognize it when he smote it. Amen. They didn't know that they was eating angels' food and got tired of it. Amen. I didn't know, amen, that Jesus, in a day when we didn't have an icebox or refrigerator, just 50 years ago, nobody much had an icebox in my neck of the woods. Nobody had a refrigerator. All we had was either the cistern or the spring. If you lived far enough away from the creek, as some folks did, they would drop their milk in a special bucket that they kept for that purpose down in the cistern. And that's the way they cooled their milk. They didn't have any refrigerator to keep the leftovers in. They did have what they call a warmer up over the top of the stove that you could open the doors and stick things in there and keep the leftovers until supper time. It'd keep about 4 hours and they'd go up there and get that bread out of that thing. They had what they call a safe that they kept dishes and some food stuff in. Amen. Even though we raised cattle, I was a great big kid before I ever ate beefsteak, because it had been a terrible waste to kill a beef and just eat a few steaks and the rest of it spoil. And so we had to send our beefsteak off and sell it. So we didn't have any beefsteak, even though we raised beef cattle. And some folks improvised a little bit better and canned their beef, but nobody I knew of liked it. Amen. They liked a country ham better. And they liked sausage out of those big gallon jugs. We canned sausage in big gallon jugs right in the grease that it was cooked in. And they get that sausage out of those big gallon jugs 50 years ago. Amen. And we didn't like that too good either. It wasn't like having fresh sausage, but I wouldn't mind to have some this morning. We didn't know how well off we was. We got so tired of that strong country cured, whether we smoked it or salt cured it. Amen. We got so tired of that strong country ham. We couldn't hardly go it any longer. Amen. I'd kind of like to have some of that this morning. Amen. Just like came out of the smokehouse in bygone years. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. We were poor, but blessed. Amen. We didn't know how the Lord was helping us even in that day. We had a spring. Amen. To put the milk in. Fairly close to the house. And then when it got drier in the summertime and that spring dried up in July and August, while we took it a little further up the creek to one that came gushing cold out of the hillside the year round. That was a good one. That's where we kept the milk and the cream. It was my job, or my sister Joyce's job, us two older ones' job, when we went to get the milk to have for supper or dinner or whatever. Amen. And a good frosty cold bucket of water. Ice was just a once a week thing, once in a while thing at home. Amen. A cup of cold water didn't have any ice cubes in it 50 years ago, generally speaking. It was a cup of cold water. In fact, you carried it all the way from the spring to get it to the house, and it wasn't quite as cold as it was if you didn't hurry, as it was when you got it out of the spring. But I didn't know why, but the bucket got frosty on the outside from condensation because you had cold water in it. Amen. I didn't know that spring was the providence of God. That since we didn't have a refrigerator, since we didn't have an ice box, and no ice, and he provided a place for us. We didn't even have a well or a cistern to keep our milk products, keep the butter in. Amen. In the hot summertime. Well, you know what? Everybody respected each other's stuff, even though sometimes two different families used the same spring. They all respected one another's food stuff. Amen. You didn't mess around anybody's food stuff. No matter how mean the kids was, and how we got roast ears out of Cleve, England's, or Cleve Waits' roast ear patch, corn patch, and roasted up on the creek bank with a fire. And man, old burnt, scorched roast ears never tasted as good as when you stole them out of Cleve, England's field and roasted them on the creek bank. You wouldn't have ate it any other time, but because we stole it, we ate it and relished it. Amen. But nobody messed around anybody else's spring. Arch Case had a spring that come out of the hill across the road from his house, and he had a spring house. That was an unheard of luxury. Nobody else in the country had a spring house except Arch Case. He had a concrete area where the water ran around and was a little bit deeper, and they could set several 10-gallon milk cans in there because some of the farmers milked cows and sold milk and cream, and he could set several 10-gallon milk cans in that concreted way there that where the water ran through out of that spring that came out of the hill. Arch Case had a spring house in it. Hot summertime, you could walk in his spring house, and it was cool in there. Us boys walk in the spring house. He had a bunch of boys, and we'd venture down that far. He ran about a mile down the creek once in a while and visit with the Case boys. Amen. And, that's what we was doing, visiting with the Case boys, and somewhere or other, we got into the old house up there where the hay was and where the chickens got in and made nests sometimes, and we got to eating raw eggs. I say we, I didn't. They did. I never did except the bear. But they would make a hole in a raw egg, and son, he was younger than Troy and Harlan, and they was agging him on, and he said, "You try it." And so they made a hole in the end of a raw egg, and he turned it up and got it in his mouth, and they said, "Don't spit it out, swallow it, swallow it, swallow it, swallow it." They held his mouth shut and encouraged him to swallow it, swallow it. Finally, one of them said, "He's gone." And son swallowed great big boop. He says, "Gone." Son Case said, sucked an egg. He was braver than most of us boys. We wouldn't chance it, you know. Amen. We was visiting with the Case boys. Amen. There's five of them. As a matter of fact, and Audrey was the only girl. Amen. And I didn't realize that Audrey was a little bit tougher than the ordinary girl. And one day after school, amen, we were scuffling hitting around on one another as we headed for the swinging bridge to cross the creek and head for home. Amen. And I don't know how it happened, really. It just happened, you know. He got into a scuffle with Audrey. And I thought, well, me old trouble to twist Audrey's arm up around behind her back and get Audrey to holler calf rope. But I had failed to realize that she was raised with five boys, and Audrey knew how to take care of herself, and she throwed me flat on my back before I could say scat. She was a holy girl who ever throwed me in a wrestling match. Amen. Audrey was tough because she'd been raised with five brothers. Amen. The only girl in the house was she had to be. Amen. And anyway, Audrey was half Martin anyway, and the Martins were known for their toughness in those days. We all went to school together, and you know, I walked by that old school spring that they had concreted in, steps up over the wall and steps down into it, and a place you could stand and reach down into the water, and they had a place where all the kids could put their pint of milk that they had for lunch, or quart, whatever they brought. Usually most of us, when we had cows, we had a little pint jar of milk that Mom would fix for us. So we took a little pint jar of milk with a zinc lid on it, amen, with a rubber with the ear on it, you know, to seal it up good, and so the water couldn't get in, and we'd drop it in the spring. And it was a great treat for a boy to get out of school and go get water to bring back to the table where everybody had his own glass. That was a big change from when I first started to school when I was 6 years old, because when I first started to school, they had a bucket and one dipper for the whole school. And the county nurse came by one day and told the teacher that wasn't healthy, that the kids shouldn't drink after each other. And so the teacher had all of us to bring our own glass to school. And we never washed it. We just left it back there. And with over a period of time, that glass became crusted over with the lime until the glass turned kind of yellow instead of clear and pretty like. Amen. From the minerals that was in the water. I didn't know it, but Brother Burkett, he wouldn't drink our water, our city water up here at the house, if he could get some that was from a well. Amen. I didn't know it, but that was God's way of providing us with some of the minerals that we needed. Right in our water. Amen. You know, I went by the old spring a few years ago, and you know, there's no water flowing out of the Big Creek School spring. I told you about it and preached it right here at the Highway of Holiness when I preached that message, "All my springs are in thee." The old spring down at the creek where we used to put our milk in the spring. And I used to play in the spring bleach. I'd dam it up with gumbo mud and break the bottom out of the bottle. And Norman Earl was a bigger boy, taught me how to break a bottle out of a bottle and mold it into that gumbo dam and that spring bleach. And when that spring got up high enough to get over that bottle, that water would squirt out of that neck of that bottle, and we could put us a windmill, make it out of a Prince Albert tobacco can. Everybody had Prince Albert tobacco cans back in those days. Everybody did. We kept everything in Prince Albert tobacco cans. Amen. We saved back seeds for the garden and spice and everything in a Prince Albert tobacco can. We could take one, cut it up, and make us a little mill and put two forks down there and put that shaft in there and let that hit just right, that ball, and it would turn real fast. And oh, we had an invention. And so, hey, I put one sticking straight up one time with enough fan on it, you know, to the water hit it, and I had me a flag on it, and it's turning around and around for people to see as they passed by. I didn't know that spring was a provision of Christ, our Creator. It was God providing water for us to drink. But you can go back by there about any time you want to, about any time of the year, Princess, and the old school spring is dry now. There's no water in it. And the spring that was close to the road and close to our house that we kept milk in, it's dry now. What is it? It was God making provision for us while He waited on us to get saved. While He waited on us to hear the gospel, He was feeding us. He was clothing us. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we learned later on in the fulfillment of our dreams that in time to come, amen, we would work hard and have more of the things that rust and corrupt and moths eat, and thieves break through and steal. But let us take heed, lest we have less of what is eternal. Amen. Praise God. We can't imagine of living in a day like that. It's hard for me to imagine myself. Maybe I'm getting old. That's why I remember so vividly here of late some of those things and the way we lived. Amen. Chicken, fried chicken, don't taste as good as it did when we butchered them fresh out of the yard. And Mom picked them. And I learned how to cut their heads off and how to pick them later on. And how to, after you got them picked, you know, to make a fire out of some paper or something and turn that chicken body over and singe all the pin feathers and hair off of them. And, boy, I hadn't tasted any chicken as good as that fried chicken in years. In 1966, and that's for a piece back, we went down to Mexico, and the first Kentucky Fried Chicken had come to Monterrey, Mexico. In fact, they had a couple of them. One on the south side of not far off 57 Highway, the Pan-American Highway. And amen. We went to be with Brother Dunn down at 35 miles south in the Nueva Esperanza, the New Hope Bible School. Amen. And they would take us into Monterrey or even send for some in Monterrey. Did you know what? Chicken tasted like it used to taste when they got it out of the yard. Again, I didn't think it ever happened or could ever happen, but the old memories came flooding back. I told it to one of the Mexican preachers who was quite advanced. In fact, one of the teachers in the Nueva Esperanza Bible School. And he said, oh yes, he said, our chicken is better and our pork is better too. And so I ate some pork down in Mexico. And I found out he was right. That their pork tastes better than it does up here. Down there. There's something about it. Amen. In that poor country. That God makes up for the lack in other things with the dividends in other ways. Amen. I'll never forget the taste of Grandma's homemade jelly on Grandma's morning biscuits. I like brown biscuits. And my mom called them rocks when she happened to get them brown. Amen. And so I adopted the habit of calling them rocks. And it wasn't because I didn't like them. It was because I liked them. Amen. And I called them rocks until one day I was at Grandma's house. And amen. I wanted a real brown biscuit. And I said, hand me one of them rocks. And Grandma took offense at it. She said, Junior Collins, if you don't like my biscuits, you don't have to eat them. That's the reason I call them rocks. I like them. Amen. Even at Grandma's house, about everybody smoked, about everybody chewed. Amen. And Grandpa would get drunk once in a while. And amen. Once in a while, my uncles would drink. And maybe two or three times in my lifetime I've seen my dad drunk. But he hardly ever got drunk. He was too smart for that. But some folks in the hills, they drown their troubles and their poverty with drink. Amen. I didn't know that God who fed us in all those years and all those times, it was His amazing grace. It was God's left hand that was taking care of us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And a long, long time down the road after He died, Jesus was still making a way for us and taking care of us. I didn't know when our house burned. And Mama told her sister Tracy, who was there taking care of her after operation, I didn't know when Mom told her about that dream she had that she saw a black glove and it was going that away. I didn't know that in a few days our house would burn in 5 minutes' time and everything we had, the hogs that we had butchered in four barrels on the back screened-in porch, amen, Mom's brand new cook stove. Dad had got a job at the relief commissary in the depression times at Mammoth Springs. Amen. He bought Mom a new stove. I didn't know that everything, those new quilts that Mom had pieced while she was convalescing, still in bed, getting over her operation and her severe sickness. I didn't know that quilt that Grandpa had begged her for, that brightly colored quilt, that she wouldn't give him. In a few minutes' time, if Grandma and Grandpa and all the rest of Mom's brothers and sisters had looked back over their shoulder, they'd have saw the smoke of our house. He hadn't much more and got out of sight until our house burned to the ground. I didn't know when the neighbors donated their dishes and donated a used table and donated their God sale items to help us to set up housekeeping again, and we'd wind up back in that one room log cabin and stay there till after I was 14 years old, off and on. But I always wind up back in a one room log cabin without a refrigerator, without an ice box. We finally got an ice box later on, and then we had ice for a while. Before that, we'd bring some ice home and put it in a tub, Brother Johnson, and cover it with quilts, and for 2 or 3 days, we had ice, and we didn't have to go to the spring to get the milk. We had ice there beside the front step, one room log cabin. July 1948, Brother Gerald Green's dad and aunt and uncles and in-laws all went together. They were a bunch of lay preachers, and they would work, and they would get enough money saved up, and they'd all take off and go hold a protracted tent revival. Get different preachers to preach. Sometimes different ones of them would preach, and amen. And we went to that tent revival. It was 1 mile and 2/10 exactly from that one room log cabin. You know, God knows how to maneuver you into position. Amen. To get you in the right place where He can save you. Clarence Edward, who died, amen, 7 years ago with cancer, he walked with me that night. He was the same age I was. Still daylight when we walked to that tent meeting talking about whether it was going to take Mary Louise home those days. If you liked a girl, you'd ask her if you could walk her home. And so you played Mr. Big, and you walked beside her all the way home and act brave, amen, and told her goodbye, and then trembled in your boots all the rest of the way to your house. That sometimes you had to walk by yourself. Amen. We was talking about whether we was going to take Mary Louise or Opal Marie. Imogene home that night. Amen. And that's the night we went to church and God got a hold of my heart and saved my soul. And then comes the 13th verse of Colossians chapter 2. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, hallelujah, all sin, all the cussing, all the wicked speaking and dirty jokes, all the ungodliness that invaded my life and threatened my future. Both time and eternity, it was changed that night when Jesus came into my heart. Amen. A bunch of the kids that was there 50 years ago have long since been called into eternity. Paul Pornett died of a heart attack when he was 35 years old. He got saved the next night. He was one of those that shook hands with me the next night and mockingly said, "Howdy, preacher." Leon Lonely got saved the next night too. He was another one of those that shook hands with me, squared his shoulders, and said, "Howdy, preacher." Amen. Clarence Edward wasn't among the bunch, but he was there the night that I got saved. He could have got saved too. Long since, 7 years ago, died with cancer. Lung cancer. From smoking. Amen. Oh, yes. He missed it. How much different it could have been for Clarence Edward if he had got saved the same night I did. He might have still been living and still been blessed. Amen. Maybe as much or greater than I. Hallelujah. But he's gone. Leon Longley drank himself to death because of his divorce and one thing or another. Amen. Went to a premature grave, I guess. Best I can piece the story together. Amen. Others of my neighbors that I run with and played ball with before I really consecrated my life to God. Amen. Every once in a while, the enemy has invaded my soul with doubt. The enemy has invaded my soul with trepidation about my future. Then I read him this verse. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Hallelujah! Raise your hand and praise God that you're saved. Your sins are blotted out. And the very law that condemned you has been nailed to his cross. And he's saying this morning, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Every last one of you have found that new lease on the life, that guaranteed future. Hallelujah! Better than anything this world can ever offer. Amen. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Hallelujah. And he still is. He still is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He still is. Oh, I mean, he's going to show the devil one way or the other, old sleuther who's on your trail, telling you can't make it, you didn't get it, amen, you missed it. Thank God, reading Colossians chapter 2 and saying, devil, you're defeated in Jesus' name. Amen. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. Hallelujah! Ah! Because I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. Hallelujah! His righteousness has been imputed. Hallelujah! I have been adopted into the household of faith. I've been chosen to be a part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah! It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since through his blood I'm whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus lifted me. And it's different. Oh, it's different now. How many feel that difference this morning? Hallelujah. Feel that different now. Feeling, praise God. Woo! Glory to God. What a day that will be. If the future's better than what God's done for me, I want to be there when it all starts happening, don't you? Stand with me and let's ask God have his way in this service this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll be able to see the hand of God in all our life and be thankful, Lord, for what you have done. Help us to see this morning what you are doing and what you're going to do. I pray. I pray in Jesus' name. Somebody here troubled by doubts. Somebody here besieged, tormented, attacked by the devil. This morning finds you under siege. Praise God. Quote Colossians 2:13. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, and he quickened together with him. That means made alive. How many feel that life-giving presence of God this morning? Having forgiven you all trespasses. As a little boy, I'd pray and I'd make bargains with God, but I never did keep any of my bargains. Until one day, I really committed all to him. Sold out to Jesus. You'll not be the loser, you'll be the winner. You'll sell out completely to God. As they sang, make your altar. Right now, come on. Don't